Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and get comfortable. But not too comfortable. It's the WCHL Podcast with WCHL Commissioner Christopher Perry and Andrew Majorkirk.
Yes, indeed. This is the WCHL Podcast. I am the Commissioner Christopher Perry, and no Andrew, because we're continuing with our special guest picker series for the upcoming 2024 ACHA Men's Division I National Championships, coming to you live from the Centene Community Ice Center, starting this Thursday at 10 in the morning. And let's get right to it. Our special guest is the former head coach of McKendree University's hockey team, Mr. Gary Henson. Here we go. You're going to like this. Hold on. Hey, this is the WCHL Podcast. I am the Commissioner Christopher Perry, and in our continuing series of special guests that we're having on to talk about the upcoming ACHA Men's Division I National Championship Tournament, it's my honor and my privilege to welcome to the WCHL Podcast the former head coach of McKendree University. It's Mr. Gary Henson, all the way from the St. Louis kind of area. Gary, say hello to the masses.
Hello, everyone. Thanks to Chris for inviting me on to get a chance to talk about the exciting event coming up.
Yeah.
Being the national tournament. So St. Louis is buzzing, and we know the schools are all buzzing as well.
Now, Gary, I got to ask. I mean, there's just been a recent change in leadership over at the Lindenwood, the NCAA team. How quickly did Lindenwood reach out to you about assuming their head coaching position? Or is that something we can't talk about publicly?
Well, as of right now, it's we probably should talk about it publicly.
Okay, all right.
However, it's a fair question, and I'll tell you that they may have reached out before Rick had even departed. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
That's a joke.
I know.
It's a little needle in case Coach Zombo hears.
Well, that's Rick. I know that, I'm not Rick. Gary, I know that you're used to being on a big time St. Louis Blues podcast. Rick isn't listening to this thing. Nobody listens to this podcast. There's only 14 listeners. 11 of them are in Springfield, Missouri. One is in the Vatican because the Pope, he kind of digs this. And then there's a couple of coaches out in Phoenix. So there you go. So we don't, Rick's not going to, do you believe Rick even knows how to turn on the podcast machine? Probably not.
I believe that he would ask for her. Assisting.
Yes, that's just it. So he would have to have some, like Abney would have to help him turn on the podcast machine to find it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, okay. But I don't think that we're going to have to worry about that. So, okay. So I'm sorry I brought it up. Touchy subject, I know. But you're in the St. Louis area, highly qualified. I figured now they have an opening. You know, the Blues, you know, passed over on you. So why not pick up Gary Henson?
Well, and that's kind of the thought amongst a lot of the people in the St. Louis area is, why not Gary Henson? And then, unfortunately, when that question is asked, there's a litany of answers as to why not. Hope at some point somebody says something to the positive, but we haven't found that yet.
Oh, geez. I bet you most of those answers come from you. What have you coached? You started this past season coaching the McKendree Bearcats. How long were you the head coach there for McKendree?
I took over the hockey team in the 2013 season.
So almost 10 or 11 years.
Correct.
You were head coach. And you decided after a scenic road trip up to northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, you said, I'm out, and handed over the reins. I'm not going to ask what was behind that decision. I'm just going to say, are you at peace with that decision? And what have you been doing ever since?
I am at peace with that decision. My former athletic director, and my president were caught off guard as well. It happened. This would be a transition year where I was to take a lesser role during the course of the year. My assistant at the time, Kylo Kane, was going to take the reins. Kylo Kane was offered a position or an advancement over at CarShield AAA. It was something he couldn't turn down, nor would I have turned it down. That happened in August. So since August, there was a little bit of a under the radar search for a coach. And it got to the point where there had to be a change, because we have to do what's best for student athletes, even if that means at our own expense. That's what I felt. I'm not playing the martyr here, but I think that I proved to myself that I made the right decision, because Brett DeKnapp took over as head coach. Brett DeKnapp I've known him since he was 2 years old. My family even gave him a scholarship when he graduated high school. He came to McKendree to play golf for me, so I was really familiar. He does a lot of work with NHL guys in the offseason. He was available, and so the change was made. And if you look at McKendree's second half, I guess you could call it, or maybe even since I left, things got righted in that program, and they finished in the top 25 rankings. So super happy with the decision I made. I still am very in contact with the students and Brett. And so, I'm just taking it easy, I guess. I jokingly tell people I'm retired. I'm 55 years old. I don't know what that means. but as of right now, I'm retired. And we'll see how things play themselves out over the next, let's say, 4 to 5, 6 months.
All right. Fair. That's fair. One of the things I always appreciated, for those that know, this is the WCHL podcast, but I'm also the commissioner for another conference, Midwest College Hockey, MCH. McKendree was one of the founding members of that conference. And Gary, you've been there since the start. One of the things I always appreciated about McKendree, and specifically dealing with you, Gary, was you never lost focus that we were here to serve the student athletes, no matter what it was that came up, whether it was a hockey issue, a non-hockey issue, an eligibility issue, a personal issue off the ice. The focus from Gary Henson was always on the student athletes and how will this affect them, how can we help them get better. And I always appreciated that perspective, because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for, right? Is to, these kids aren't going to the NHL, most of them aren't going to even go play minor pro hockey anywhere. We're pumping out student athletes, hopefully to turn them into good citizens of the world who are going to continue on and be good people. And you never lost that focus, and I always kind of dug that about Gary Henson.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to tell you, I had some really great mentors growing up who were educators, from elementary educators to high school to university professors, and all of those people, I was lucky enough, or at least the vast majority of them, always told me that keep the student first, and you'll never feel like it's a job. And I took their advice, and they were right, because, Chris, one of the things I tell my student athletes and my students in the classroom, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. In fact, it's really hard to reinvent the wheel given today's society. So don't do that. If it happens, great. However, look at people who are successful and do what they do. And I've lived a long time doing exactly that.
That's right. Yeah. And it's worked out for you.
It really has. And I just think the ACHA is really doing a great job doing that same thing and keeping the student first, as someone who's coached at the NCAA level And at the ACHA level, I'll tell you, one of those entities can get a little lost with student first.
Uh-oh.
I think a lot of the listeners, the millions of listeners, are going to understand who I mean when I say that.
Millions. Oh, you're way too kind. You're way too kind.
You have to manifest it, Chris. You have to manifest listeners.
One of the things, Gary, I mean, I know that you stepped away from coaching, especially here in the ACHA, but I also know that while you weren't coaching behind the bench, you were still involved, because throughout the season, I was still getting texts and in a phone call or two from you. Curious about the season and certain results. I know that you're keenly aware of what happened in the postseason with our conference tournament and with McKendree's nice little run through the MCH tournament, and almost, you know, they gave us a nice long scare to the host up there, the University of Mary, pulled them in overtime before, you know, really forced them to work hard. So I know that you haven't lost sight of the AC, even though you're no longer coaching, you still pay very close attention to what's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, my absence behind the bench doesn't mean that I'm absent with ACHA, and I don't plan on being absent with ACHA. This isn't where I step away from everything completely. That wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so I do keep a close eye on it. I watch games now that I never would have had the opportunity to watch before, because I would have been behind the bench, or I would have been preparing McKendree for whatever, and or whatever score, whichever school. So it's been really neat to be able to watch other schools, watch their stream, listen to their broadcasts, listen to, or at least get a little glimpse into their university, as most schools do when they run streams. They do a little advertisement of their university and their campus. So it's been really cool for me to have that free time and check out other schools that I would have never even had the opportunity or maybe even known before. So keep them busy like that in regard to hockey.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Well, I got to ask, we're here to ask, have you on to run through the national tournament, the bracket, and ask if you've get your impressions as to what's going to happen. Are you aware that there's a bracket contest that's on the Twitter account where you can actually throw your hat in the ring, and anybody can? All you got to do is submit your picks on that contest, and if you win, you might even get a prize from the dumb fat commissioner.
Well, I know the commissioner, and I wouldn't call him dumb or fat. Yeah. I would choose synonyms for that, but not. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I do know it's on Twitter, and I hope people get involved. I have not yet, because the first games aren't until Thursday.
Yep.
And so I'm waiting for the injury reports to come out.
Oh, look at you.
You know, and a few other ins and outs. I've got some connections here and there. Maybe, you know, get a little insight where maybe it could help me fill out my bracket. But my bracket will be in by game time on Thursday.
There you go. Yeah, brackets close, I think, Wednesday night at midnight. Or
Wednesday night at midnight.
Yeah, whatever the bracket, whatever midnight is between Wednesday and Thursday. All right, well, very good. Hey, that reeked of, like, you know, the guy at the track who's, you know, waiting to throw his bet in until he sees the horses in the paddock type of a thing. Is that what's going on here?
I would tell you that if you know me, that's probably where that came from. Given that I grew up on the backside of a horse track, cleaning stalls, and currently own a couple racehorses, and have been known to write the tip sheet at a local racetrack under a pseudonym. So I can say that now that I'm no longer employed by McKendree, an NCAA school, I can now say that if you ever were at Fairmount Racetrack in Collinsville, Illinois, and you bought the green tip sheet, you were reading my work.
Hey, very nice. Look at that. I mean, I was going out on a limb. That was stuff I had no clue of, but that's pretty impressive.
You looked into a crystal ball on that one, buddy.
Yeah, sure did. Well, hey, let's get right to it. Well, before we do it, I want your opinion on two things. Okay. We've expanded the tournament from 20 to 24 teams. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think anything that creates more opportunities and experiences positively for the students, then I'm always going to be okay with that. So adding the teams does do that. However, I think adding the teams, we should maybe consider the expense of the trip. And so that is, I know that's a, those are tough things to do, but I don't mind. I like 20. I don't mind 24 because of the student experience. However, I know that that can be costly for some of the schools in the ACHA. So maybe there's some avenues and revenue sources to look at to help fund some of the schools that may have trouble that are coming in and they're currently ranked 20 to 24.
Okay. Wait, that's fair. That's fair. My second question, I know that you're very, very close friends with John Hogan, the head coach at Maryville University. John is a good friend of, I'd like to think he's a good friend of mine, but I also like to tease him mercilessly. So knowing that expanding the tournament from 20 to 24 means that four games are going to have to be played at the Hogan Palace over there in Chesterfield, would you have, does that impact your decision one way or the other versus expanding or not expanding? Because all we're doing is really giving John another reason to, you know, ingratiate himself with the ACHA, right?
Well, you are right. You are correct in that. It doesn't change my opinion as to 24 being a bad thing and those four games being played over there. It's a nice facility, and you know, John typically is a good host. So Maryville does a good job with that facility, and so any school that plays there is going to feel like they've been welcomed and things are going to run smoothly over there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just honestly, the thing I'm grateful for is twofold. Number one, I will be at the Centene Community Ice Center on Thursday, not at the Maryville University Hockey Center. And number two, that Flow Hockey is putting on the broadcast and not the Marshy Broadcasting Network over there with Andrew does a great job with their broadcasts. The other guys on the they have an Undertaker, and then they have a Class Clown, and then they do a great job with their media, but boy, there's some of that stuff is better on mute. But that's just me.
Well, you know, I will say that Andrew does a good job. Andrew Marsh does a good job.
He's the best dressed broadcaster in all the ACHA, that's for sure.
He is for sure.
Yeah, and, like an Italian model.
Yes. Luckily for him, his face is better than a face for radio, so he's doing well there. In regard to his two colleagues on that broadcast, I feel like they do the best job they can, and I hope everyone knows that they're trying.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't denigrate them. They're doing the best they can.
I'm gonna fall on your side of the fence here.
Uh oh.
So as I say all that, I will tell you, on numerous occasions while watching the stream from Maryville, I do send DMs, direct messages to Chuck, for example, when they don't know what's going on the ice in the game they're watching. So I will send them a DM on Twitter so that they can read what's going on, and to their credit, they do say, Coach Henson from McKendree has just sent us a direct message explaining blah, 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 blah. but since I've had more time, like I said before, to watch more streams, they're getting more and more direct DMs from me.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, there's a little lack of hockey knowledge on that side, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, I'm not a hockey guy, or so I've been told. So I'm not gonna fault them for that. Like you said, at least they're trying, right? And they're putting on the best possible broadcast that they can.
They're putting on a show.
They're putting on a show is right. Jeez. Hey, let's get right to it. The broadcasts are going to be on Flow Hockey, and they're going to start on Thursday morning at 10:15 in the morning. Have you ever played a game at 10:15 in the morning?
Yes.
I mean, God, that sounds so awful to just wake up.
But it's been a long time.
Yeah, I just can't imagine.
Yeah, that's gonna be. That's going to be a new experience for Missouri State and Utah for sure.
Yeah, especially Utah coming from the mountain time zone.
Right. And just, you know, students at this age, late teens, early 20s, your clock is set to stay up late and sleep a little late. You uh-huh. know, that's just kind of how it is. And so I suspect, with the nerves of everything, that Missouri State students and the University of Utah students are going to have a little bit of trouble sleeping that night. But, you know, once you jump on the ice and you get through warm-ups and you get to the game ice, you know, the adrenaline kicks in and you forget about that. But, you know, if it's a tough game late in the third, you know, that can really play a factor as far as your fatigue level.
Yeah, it's super early. I mean, we don't really have a choice. I'm not complaining about that, although we don't have a third facility that we can run to. But all right, let's get going here. 10:15 in the morning, number 12, Utah, all the way from the Mountain Time Zone, early morning, taking on number 21, Missouri State from Spring Vegas, Missouri.
It is Spring Vegas down there, isn't it?
It is. Just ask them.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, I think it's going to be a pretty evenly matched hockey game. I think it's going to be exciting. I think those two programs have been here before, you know, and some of those players know what there are. Some of those students know what to expect, but I think like anything, they're going to come out flying, and I think we'll see some pretty good hockey out of both of them.
Okay. Care to pick a winner?
I can't. It's going on my bracket.
What do you mean it's going to ruin your bracket?
Not ruin my bracket, but I'm giving out information. No, I actually think Utah's going to win.
All right. We're going to go Utah in game number one. All right, game number two over there at the Maryville University Hockey Center, the otherwise known as the Palace de Hogan, is number 13 Arizona taking on number 20 Pittsburgh. That's kind of unfair because Arizona is John Hogan's team. He's probably going to let Arizona into the Maryville locker room and just, you know, pretend this is almost going to be a home game basically for Arizona, don't you think, at Nationals?
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say that University of Arizona, being John's alma mater and Coach Hogan's alma mater, and having played here very recently or in that facility very recently, I think they will have an advantage. I think they'll have more of a comfort level than Pittsburgh will have, and I think that'll play out on the ice, and I think Arizona wins that game.
Yeah. Kind of wild that, yeah, they played three games there this year.
And they actually beat Maryville in overtime.
You know, yeah, I give John a hard time because he's like, we weren't looking past him. I'm like, you were planning, you were focusing that whole week on number one Minot State, and you totally glossed over the team that you beat twice earlier in the year, and it's all right. Hey, they got him in what, overtime, I think it was. So
correct. I watched that game,
yeah,
and I'm going to tell you that John's a good head coach in saying what he should say in public, but I'm going to tell you, they weren't watching. They were 100% looking at the Friday game.
Yeah. And I don't want this to turn into the Bash John Hogan podcast. I just love to tease him.
And I are really close. You know, and I go have beers and we talk almost two or three times a week. So, yeah, we're really good friends, but I think Arizona's going to have the familiarity aspect and take that one down.
There you go. Game three of the tournament's going to be Purdue Northwest, the number 11 seed, taking on Indiana Pennsylvania, the number 22 seed. Coach, I got to ask you, you're recruiting a star athlete to come to your university. How difficult is it to recruit a player to a university whose name is confused? Indiana, Pennsylvania. Which state are we in? What the hell? I mean, why, California, that's, Nevada. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's tough for sure because at first glance, I think honestly people stop reading after university.
Yeah.
So when you see Indiana University, you almost ignore the Pennsylvania. So that doesn't seem like the best marketing plan for that school and their name. I think maybe they should, you know, there's got to be some other way to come up with that. For example, the University of Missouri St. Louis, that's UMSL. So that's pretty easy, you know. There's UIC in Chicago, University of Illinois Chicago. This Indiana University of Pennsylvania, we don't have that same. What are you going to say?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the? How are you going to nickname that? And I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, I know.
And for that reason, Purdue's going to win.
I know they go by IUP, and maybe IUP would be better, but that also gets you closer to a medical device.
I was just going to say that, or, you know, IUP, so IU. Mm-hmm. That's just not a great marketing.
The fourth game of the day, Grand Valley State out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, takes on the Blue Hens of Delaware. That's a 14-19 matchup.
Yeah, now, Sheed, I think we're getting closer in – to more evenly matched teams, I guess, maybe, because I've seen both these teams play and they move the puck well. I mean, they're very solid teams, you know, like you have to pay attention, otherwise they'll beat you. You know, Green Valley State's been, you know, a mainstay forever. And so I just think that both these teams are, I think I see a very close game here. I see like a 1-2 goal game.
Okay.
And I haven't really decided which one for sure, but I would lean toward Grand Valley State.
All right. Well, we'll circle GVSU for today's purposes, knowing that when you submit your racers form bracket in a couple of days, that things could change.
Yeah.
The fifth game at the of the day, the third game over at Centene, is going to see the number 10 University of Mary Marauders from the MCH taking on an auto bid, the number 23 Golden Rams of Westchester University from suburban Philadelphia. What do you think there, Mary Westchester?
I'm definitely going to go with you, Mary, here. I've actually been to Westchester University. That has no bearing on their skill level or their game, but I've been there, and I've been in some casinos around there. And anyway, in my past life, anyway, but I think you, Mary, is, I mean, they, you know, everybody knew you, Mary, was going to be strong, moving from the men's D2 division to now the D1 division. They had a really good year, and they're a very sound team. And, you know, they're in the MCH, and people can say what they want about the MCH, but the MCH had a pretty solid year.
Yeah, it did.
Collectively. And they were battle-tested in the game against McKendree. They came out in the MCH playoffs. They came out and dominated the first period. I think the shots were, let's say, roughly 14-3 at one point in the first period. And then I feel like they got a little secure and a little, this is, you know, we're going to win this game. And I think they took the gas off the pedal. And McKendree really surprised them in the second period. And actually, by the end of that period, McKendree was leading in shots.
They were. And in the game.
Yeah, so... And that went through to the third period. And I think UMary has had a really good schedule. They've played some really top teams. They've played some top teams very well. They beat some top teams. But I think they had a little wake-up call into you can't take anyone for granted, and I think that's going to be their driving force through this tournament.
Yeah, I think Westchester's ripe for just getting destroyed. What if you were going to set the over under for the goal differential in this game? What number are you going to set it at?
UMass going to win this game 8-1.
Woo, 8-1. So a plus 7 is from Gary Henson. All right, I like that, and that's probably we can take that one to the Caesars sports betting, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know if they allow ACHA. They probably do.
I've never looked
into that. You know a guy. I know a guy. I love that. I know a guy. That's the best. Hey, the sixth game of the day is going to be the Knights from Calvin, number 15, taking on number 18, Indiana Tech, the Warriors. Surprisingly, Indiana Tech is at the 18th seed. They're usually a little bit higher up. And Calvin's coming to us from that Great Lakes League. What do you think is going to happen there? Calvin, Indiana Tech.
I think that Indiana Tech's going to win that game.
An upset. I like it.
Yeah, I see an upset there. Not taking anything away from Calvin. I think they're well coached. I think they're solid. I just think Indiana Tech is you know, they're a strong team. And what I mean by that is they're physically strong. And they'll pull you into that kind of game, whether you want to do that or not. And there's a couple other of the top programs that play that way as well that I'm sure we'll talk about. But I can see Indiana Tech using their grinded out physicality, nothing too flashy, just to maybe get the win here. And we'll probably see like a 4-2, maybe a 4-3 game.
Okay. Very nice. The next game of the day, the last game at the Centene Community Ice Center, should be a blowout. Number 9, Niagara, taking on an auto bid from the Northeast League. Number 24, Oswego State. Now, if this was Oswego State's NCAA team, then we're talking a totally different story. But this is Oswego State's ACHA team. They got in from an auto bid in the Northeast Collegiate Hockey League, and they're taking on number 9, Niagara. What do you think is going to happen there, Coach?
I think Niagara's going to win this game convincingly. I think maybe we might see like maybe the first 5 minutes kind of a feeling out thing, but Niagara's strong. They always, you know, they've been really strong, you know, for the last 2 to 3, 4 years. And I don't see them having much of a problem here.
Yeah, I tend to agree here. And then the last game of the day could be a barn burner because it's going to pit the number 16 seed Illinois State, the Redbirds, and Chris Pruitt, head coach, against probably one of the hottest teams coming into the tournament, Grand Canyon University, the number 17 seed. What do you think is going to happen here? 16-17 late at the Maryville University Hockey Center.
Another NCH team in Illinois State. Chris has done a fantastic job since he's taken over the reins there from the previous coach. They work hard. They have a plan. They stick to it. If they do, I think they might be able to squeeze this one out. But like you said, Grand Canyon University is a hot team, and they're very confident right now. And that's, you know, in any sport, the confidence, if you don't have it, doesn't really matter how good you are. And Grand Canyon is playing confident hockey right now. So I agree with you. I think this 8:30 p.m. game that on Thursday is going to be a really good game for it, for those people who just want to come out and watch some ACHA hockey after work in the St. Louis area. This would be a really good game to come watch, and you're going to get a really good idea of what the top teams in the top 25, for example, in the ACHA look like.
Yeah, I explained it to somebody, or I suggested to somebody, Illinois State is they're very, very good, but their lug nuts are not exactly all the way screwed on super duper tight. So if they're playing well, they're going to have a great time. But if a lug nut comes loose and the wheel falls off, watch out. I mean, it could get kind of ugly.
Yeah, it could get ugly for sure. And unfortunately, that's been their Achilles heel, and some schools have been able to take advantage of that, and hopefully they've tightened that up and understand that it's playoff hockey, and you gotta play a certain way, and you gotta stay out of the penalty box. Now I'm going to tell you, Illinois State has always has one of the best power plays in the country. And if Grand Canyon University decides to get a little squirrely and take some bad penalties, Illinois State is their power play is no joke.
It's lethal.
They can, yep. Yeah, they can bury the puck for sure. And they know how to get you into a position where you get into taking some penalties you may not want to, and because they know the strength of their power play. And so Grand Canyon is a little undisciplined and lets that Illinois State power play get four or five or even six chances. It could be a long night for Grand Canyon.
Yeah, and add that, couple that with that lethal power play with excellent goaltending between the pipes that Illinois State's known for. Yeah, that's a, it's a deadly combination.
Very much so.
All right, well, that means on Friday morning, we're going to kick things off with the Jamestown Jimmies, the number 4 seed. They're going to take on the winner from Thursday, the number 13 Arizona Wildcats. How do you see this one playing out? Jamestown, the champions of the MCH, taking on U of A.
I don't think Jamestown will have much of a problem with U of A or Pittsburgh in this game. I think the Jamestown University, I think the Jimmies are a Final Four in this tournament.
Tipping your hand a little bit there, Coach.
A little bit, you know. I mean, I'll look at it a little more before I turn in my bracket. But if I had to say so today, it's hard not to put them there. They've gone up against the best all year, and they're battle tested. They're strong. They aren't afraid to mix it up with you, and they aren't afraid to play a run and gun with you. They can play different styles, and they're an impressive group of young men on that team. And I think after last year, and I think they've had a couple wake up calls again this year. Obviously, I'm gonna mention McKendry again. But, you know, I think it's their time to make a seriously deep run or in a shot at that national title.
Very nice. Very nice. The next game of the day would pit the number 3 Central Oklahoma Broncos against you picked Grand Valley State. Grand Valley State's 14, so a 3-14 matchup.
So the 14... Grand Valley State's going to have their hands full with the University of Central Oklahoma. Mike Rivera's done a great job down there, and if people who are listening to this, the millions again that are listening to this, if you want to see what kind of style the University of Central Oklahoma plays, I suggest you watch the Florida Panthers play, because they too are going to make you play a game that you may not necessarily want to play. And what I mean by that is they're going to rough you up, and they're going to be difficult to play against. They're going to be in your face after every whistle. They're going to give you a shot here and there, and they have the skill to overcome any sort of, let's say, any sort of penalty situation they get into. They're fast, they're big, and they're extremely physical, and they're just going to, if they feel like they need to make the game chippy, you know, in hockey terms, we say chippy. Uh-huh. I feel like that's what they're going to do. They're my sleeper, honestly, in this tournament. Really? And I don't mean that. Yeah. I don't mean that sleeper in the fact that they're a highly ranked, you know, or a lowly ranked team going to have some upsets, but you know, I think they're going to give fits to – I see them in the Final Four. I can see them in the championship game, and I can see them winning it all.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Wow, I like that. Look at you. This is excellent. This is why we have a hockey guy on to talk about this, because I'm digging this. All right, so you're saying Central Oklahoma will move on. And yes. Adrian will then take on you selected Indiana Tech. So that's a number 2 versus an 18 matchup. Adrian, Indiana Tech. Those guys just recently played, I think, here towards the end of the season. How do you think this matchup is going to turn out at Nationals?
I think this is an interesting matchup. And I think it's interesting and a little bit I think Adrian needs to make sure they're on their game here. Like I said before, Indiana Tech is solid. They don't make a lot of mistakes, and they have speed. They can control the puck when they need to, or they can carry it and dump it in and go get it. And Adrian's got all of the skill they need to win this game. It's just going to come down to a discipline issue. Whoever stays more disciplined and stays out of the box will win this hockey game. And that's not to say that Adrian, is rated higher than they should be. They're rated where they should be.
Yeah.
But I think Indiana Tech has given fits to some teams like Adrian. I don't remember what the scores were. I know they just played each other. So there could be some lingering issues, hockey players don't forget very quickly, I think Adrian's going to come out on top, but, I hope this is a good hockey game for both programs, honestly.
Okay. So you're saying it could be, could just be a challenge. Adrian will eventually prevail, but it could, it's going to be a tighter game than most people expect.
I think they're going to have to work for the win here.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And then the last game of the day is going to see the number one, the national champion, defending national champion, Minot State Beavers, taking on Illinois State, the number 16 seed.
Yeah, this is going to be no problem for Minot State.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chris.
Sorry. With all due respect to Illinois State and their students, their coaches, and specifically their goaltender, he would have to do something remarkable, and he can, trust me, I've seen it. he can do remarkable things, but I think Minot State's just going to eventually, even if the game starts out somewhat even, Minot State's going to eventually roll Illinois State.
Yeah, Minot State, you mentioned earlier when you're talking about a team that can just grind and grind and grind, that's what Minot State does.
They got the whole roster is Western Canadian kids, I think.
You know,
maybe there are a couple stragglers here and there, but, even the Canadians will tell you that Western Canadians play a pretty physical game up and down from the time they're 8 years old till they reach the college level, for example, and even beyond that. So it's a bunch of tough kids with a bunch of skill, and I just don't see how Illinois State survives that.
Okay. So chalk on day two of the tournament, 1 through 4, move on and prevail. On Saturday, the first game of the day, we'll see the number 5 seed, UNLV, the Skating Rebels, taking on the winner from day one. That'll be Utah. So a number 5 versus a number 12 matchup, Coach.
Yeah, I don't see UNLV having any problems here. I know they typically recruit well because it seems like it'd be an easy place to recruit college kids.
You would think, right?
So I know that, they've been at the top of the ACHA, for a little bit now. And I just think they're going to ease through this game too much damaging.
How difficult, Coach, would it be for you, knowing that it's easy to get them there to Las Vegas because it's a very tempting, I mean, it's Sin City and it's called that for a reason, but how difficult would it be to coach there and to, keep everybody's attention focused on the task at hand? Because there are an awful lot of distractions.
The distractions in Vegas I go to Vegas 7 times a year. I know what the distractions are.
and they know you, right?
Yeah. But I don't know as to what when it gets familiar, So I'm sure as the new students come in every year, and if they're taking students, if they're recruiting from junior hockey and those students are coming in at 20 and turning 21 during their first year there, I would assume there's some challenges for the staff given that.
Uh-huh.
But I would think at some point, and I know people who've moved to Vegas and live in Vegas, they tell you at some point it's just like if you live near train tracks, eventually you stop hearing the train. Eventually you stop seeing the lights. Now, to what extent that may happen with 21 to 24 year olds, I don't know, but I imagine the challenge is there. But when you're now on the road and you're here and there's a job in front of you and you're a good team. And so I don't feel like they'll be distracted here. And I think they'll take care of that first game.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I totally hear what you're saying. My daughter lives in Colorado and I'm like, how can you just not turn to the left and look at the mountains every single day and just be amazed? And she's like, oh, they're just exactly. There. They're there now. You know, they're always going to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, the next game of the day is going to see our friend, Coach John Hogan, and his Maryville Saints, the number 6 seed, taking on number 11, Purdue Northwest. I think that's a tough draw for game number 1 for Maryville. What do you think?
I do think it's a tough draw, but I think Maryville has convinced themselves that they can win. And what I mean by that is they can win against the top teams. John's done a really good job of making sure his schedule is full of top schools in the ACHA. And I feel like this will be a test, but I also feel like Maryville is really confident right now. And we spoke about confidence earlier. And if you don't have that, you have nothing. And they have a hot goaltender. And John and I actually had dinner last week, and we talked about his goaltending. His longtime starter, number one, was Ed Coffey, and Ed was injured, and now they have Boehner in the net. And he was their number one D2 goaltender, and he's come up, and he's played great. And we actually refer to him a little bit like Jordan Bennington when Jordan Bennington came to the Blues and the Blues went on that run and won that Stanley Cup. I know this isn't the NHL, but it's similar. He is really confident and he is making the big saves and the team really believes in him and they don't play scared with what was a D2 goaltender in net. It feels like the last two or three games I've watched from Maryville, you get a sense that they're more than comfortable with him in net and more than confident about their abilities to win big games. So while this is going to be a test and it is a tough draw, I think Maryville comes out on top.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. That'll be good for the home crowd because then all the Hogan fan club will keep coming to the games. It won't be a one and done. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Well, you know, John does have a lot of fans, you know.
Well, they're mostly his family. Come on. How many Hogans are there in the world? There's a ton of them. Jeez.
There must be tons of them because every time I'm on the highway, there's a Hogan vehicle passing me.
You know, he asked me when I was coming into town the other day, and I said, you know, buddy, I'm pulling up in a Hogan cargo van. Don't you know it?
There you go.
Oh, jeez. The next game of the day is going to be number 7, Liberty, taking on the number 10 seed, Mary, University of Mary. So Liberty versus Mary, two religious institutions going head-to-head, putting the higher power in a quandary as to which team to love.
Well, I'm glad we got to this point because we refer to Liberty as UMary East and we've referred to UMary as Liberty West. And so we do that kind of jokingly and tongue in cheek. This is going to be a really good hockey game is what this is going to be. And I really believe that these two teams play very similar styles. And I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I think whichever team comes out on top in this game, I'm going to lean toward UMary in this one.
Really? Okay. An upset. Okay. I like it.
UMary. But what I'm going to be most curious to see other than the game is the post game of the winning side and see if the winning team thanks a higher power, because essentially what you're saying is the higher power loved you more that day than the other school.
I think they'll probably both fall to their knees and thank that person for getting everybody out of there.
There's going to be an interview somewhere, Chris. There's going to be an interview somewhere, and I'm going to find it.
I love it. I love it. This is great. Oh, you're going to find it and let people know all about it.
Absolutely. Jesus loved you, Mary, more than Liberty that day.
The last game of the day is going to see the Bobcats from Ohio, the number 8 seed, taking on number 9, Niagara. These two teams have played already this season, I think 4 times, and I think they split.
They did split. I actually looked that up before the call today. I was just kind of curious as to who played who, and that's one of the games I got to. They did split. This game's going into overtime.
An overtime game. God, it's the last game of the night. Oh.
Everything says it's going into overtime. It's the last game of the evening. It might be even a little pushed back because of other games and other situations ahead of them. They've played 4 games against each other and they've split. If this doesn't scream overtime, I don't know what does.
Okay. Who's gonna win it in overtime, Coach?
Ohio's going to win in overtime.
Ohio's going to win in overtime. You know, they're really crap. I don't really mind an overtime game. I mind it when it's the early game and it pushes back the other 3. But if it's the last game of the day, hey, whatever. More free hockey. But the thing that's really going to suck about this whole deal, if that game goes to overtime, daylight savings time kicks in.
Absolutely.
And so it's going to be a late night and an early morning on Sunday when you have the University of Jamestown, number 4, taking on UNLV, number 5.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think? Jamestown versus Vegas, and we lose an hour, and that's also after, I mean, we might as well just stay overnight at the Centene Center. Forget going back to the hotel. Just crash there in section 103, and we'll wake up and be ready to rock.
Well, there are casinos with 15 minutes away that where I can get some free rooms. Maybe we could call my casino host and see. So we're somewhat close to the area.
You know somebody, huh? That's what it sounds like.
I know somebody.
I know a guy.
I know a guy.
What do you think here? Jimmies versus Rebels.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Jimmies here. I just am.
All right.
I might be a little biased. You know, this might be a little subjective because of it's an MCH team. But I just, like I said, I think the Jimmies are primed for a little bit of a run.
The next game is going to have your self-declared dark horse, UCO, the number 3 seed, taking on your best friend in all the world, the Maryville Saints, and John Hogan, the number 6 seed. How do you're kind of torn here with a dark horse versus a buddy.
Yeah, I am torn. I'll be rooting for John and rooting very hard for his student athletes. There are several on that team that I think the world of. The Prexlers, TJ, and I, you know, I've known TJ even before he was at Maryville, and Ed Coffey, the former number 1 goaltender. They have some really good people on that team, and being that we're so close, you know, sometimes we get to know one another. So I will be rooting for Maryville. I think it's going to be a really tough test for them, and I think UCO. If UCO doesn't lose their mind, they've had.
Yeah, that, anything's possible.
Anything's possible, but I'm going to tell you again, I think this one's going to overtime, and then you can flip a coin. Okay. I really do. And that's not a cop-out.
Yeah?
I really believe that. Maryville's tough. UCO is really tough. Like I said, they're gonna drag you into a game that's not gonna be comfortable for you because it's going to hurt, and you're gonna have to battle physically every shift.
Okay.
And Maryville's been through that with them, and they know what to expect. And I think this is gonna be one of the highlight games of this tournament.
I like it. And who's going to win it in overtime?
I'm going to tell you that Maryville's going to win this game.
Whoa, Maryville's going to win the game. Look at you. All right. In overtime.
Right. If UCO gets past Maryville, they can win it all.
Okay, but you're saying for picking purposes here on this heard by millions, you're picking Maryville.
Correct.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just trying to move the line so the millions go the other way. I'm pulling a little Billy Walters on everybody.
Always an ulterior motive. The next game of the day is going to see number 2, Adrian, taking on number 10, Mary. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, you know, if you, Mary, wins a game, like I said, against Liberty, then, you know, Jesus is on their side. And so I think they're going to come out with a win here against Adrian.
Really? Oh, an upset win. All right. I like that. Very nice. Well, and then the last game of the day would see number 1, Minot State, taking on number 8, Ohio.
Minot State.
All right.
God, this is a 5-2 game.
Oh, really? It's not even going to be that close, huh?
No, I mean, it's going to be 5-2, and, you know, Minot may get a late one because, you know, they're having to push, but I Minot 5-2.
Very nice. Well, as you know, in our national tournament, once we get down to 4, we reshuffle, and we have the highest seed take on the lowest, and the 2 in the middle, they take on one another. So the highest seed here would be Minot State, and they would take on the number 10 seeded Mary Marauders. So in the first game of the day, and I think Minot State and Mary have only played like 300 times this year. So, and they've, you know, Minot State has won most of them. I think Mary's nicked a few games off of them. But do you think this one's going to turn out? Minot State, Mary.
This will also be a good hockey game, but Minot State wins this game.
And in the other semifinal, it's going to see Jamestown taking on Maryville. That's a number 4 seed taking on a number 6 seed.
Correct. Unfortunately for John and Maryville, this is where their season comes to an end.
All right. You realize you picked 3 North Dakota teams to fill out the to be part of the top 4 there.
I did, and one of the reasons why is their rosters are full of Western Canadians.
You're finding a formula for success here, is what you're saying.
So I'm really going with geography on this one.
There's a method to the madness. I love it.
Absolutely.
Well, if all goes as Gary Henson has planned, we're going to see a championship game for the Marduk Cup between number 1 Minot and number 4, Jamestown. And who do you think is going to come out on top holding the cup over their heads at the end of the night?
Minot's going to get a late goal under 4 minutes in the third to put them ahead and win the championship.
Ooh, look at that. Back-to-back for Minot State. I'm writing this down. Under 4 minutes in the third to win it.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Well, there we go. We've gone through all 23 games.
Not intimidated by the millions of listeners.
Well, let me ask this, the millions of listeners, the nice thing is, who knows how many people actually listen to this thing. But the fun part is we're going to have an awful lot of folks actually in St. Louis, attending the tournament. And the Centene Community Ice Center is just a beautiful facility. So a question for you. Centene, you're there in St. Louis area. The Centene Community Ice Center versus the Maryville University Hockey Center. If you had to play one game for all the marbles, which building would you rather play it in?
I'd rather play in Centene.
Centene is so nice, isn't it? I mean, what a nice setup.
Yeah, it's the stadium style seating that's really going to, you know, put it over the edge for me.
Yeah, that'll be very nice. Well, Gary, listen, we've got folks coming to St. Louis to see hockey. I'm going to be at the rink all the time, so I'm not exactly going to be able to go sightseeing or to go see anything else. But if there are folks that are coming to St. Louis that are listening to this podcast, and they only really care about one or two teams, what do you suggest that they do while they're in St. Louis besides attend the games at Centene at the Maryville hockey rinks?
Right. So given that those two rinks are relatively close to one another in the St. Louis area, there's a lot to do in West County. Very short drive from any hotel that's favoring either one of those rinks. There's a very short drive to the Topgolf. There's a very short drive to, for those who want to press their luck. There's the Hollywood Casino is right down the street. It's literally in the same complex as Centene. If gambling's not your thing, but you're a foodie, they have really good steakhouse there and really good restaurants. You know, a little less than the steakhouse, but still really quality. Their Italian restaurant there is really good. Top Golf is always amazing. There's a shopping center. There's an outlet mall. There are the amount of restaurants in that area are insane. So food will not be a problem for anyone coming into the area. But as far as entertainment, you can always check out and see if the Blues are in town. The downtown area has some cool event, cool atmosphere around the, let's say, like Union Station area. There's also that, and these are all short drives. Like Union Station is 20 minutes from Centene. So okay, there's a lot to do in the area. There's a ton of great places to go eat. And as far as like entertainment, there's always, like I said, there's Topgolf, the casinos in the area. There's shopping in the area. So there's going to be plenty to do. And all of it is really close to both of these facilities, and people shouldn't, there's no way you're going to be bored.
Very nice. Very nice. I got to ask you about the Gateway Arch that's there. Everybody's the iconic Gateway Arch. I had no clue when I went there many years ago that in order to get to the top of the Gateway Arch, you actually have to go underground to get into those little space bubbles that run you up to the top of the Gateway Arch.
Correct.
Is it worth it? I'll ask you as someone who's lived there, maybe this is gets back to the Las Vegas, the lights don't bother you anymore. You're in Colorado, the mountains don't bother you. When you're in St. Louis, do you even acknowledge the arch? Is it part of the, is it just there, or is it still something that you suggest folks go and check out?
I would suggest you go and check it out. It's oddly, it's just, so I live on the Illinois side. So when I have to cross over into the downtown area or use one of the highways to go through the downtown area, you do look at the arch, and I've been, I'm a native St. Louisan, so unlike the mountains and maybe some of the other things, you do glance at it. Now, maybe I glance at it because I wish I would go up in there, but you're not getting me in one of those little pods. So for all those people that are listening and coming into town and want me to say how great it is when you get to the top of it, I have no idea because I'm not getting in that pod. If you're not claustrophobic, more power to you. But I can't hardly even look at that pod. Now, we have been around the grounds there and read the history and on the arch and all that. And it's, you know, it has a museum kind of feel to it. And there's some interesting things about the arch, definitely. And going up to the top, the people that have been up there say, you know, it's a fantastic view, and it's, you know, the windows are smaller than they thought and all that kind of stuff. But and they have a good experience. But I'm going to tell you, for someone who doesn't like closed in places, this isn't going to be for you.
Yeah, those windows are like looking out of the window of the Apollo capsule. It's just,
exactly.
It's just a little teeny tiny window, and you've got to, yeah, if you want to, you know, and see the expanse of the downtown skyline, you have to move, not the window.
Right, so it's not a short ride. Not a short ride, and it's not like being in an elevator. You don't go straight up. You're essentially climbing stairs while in a pod.
Yes. Yes. In a pod.
So good luck with that. Yeah. Any of the listeners want to send me an email and tell me how that experience was, or shoot me a message on Twitter? That'd be great. Let me know how much you liked it. I'm not going with you.
Not for you. I get it.
No, sir.
All right. Well, before we get you out of here, we got to ask you about the St. Louis Blues. I know that you're on a super duper regionally popular St. Louis Blues podcast. You're known for your knowledge of all things Blues and all things NHL. What's your assessment of where the Blues are going to end up this season? And then who's going to play for the Stanley Cup? Which two teams from each conference are going to be at the end? And will it be the Blues?
It will not be the Blues. The Blues, if they make the playoffs, will be a wild card. They'll make it by the skin of their teeth. They can be a tough first round opponent. I just don't think they're going to be a tough first round opponent for any of the Western Conference teams, okay, because they're going to come in as a wild card, so they're going to face one of the top teams in over seven games. You know, I just don't see the Blues winning a seven game series against any of the top teams in the Western Conference.
Okay, right now they're sitting in 10th place, and you got to make it to eight, right?
They're a couple points back.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time believing Boston doesn't come out of the Eastern Conference. I just
really,
as much as I can't stand them, I feel like they're just such a playoff structured team that when the time comes, they're going to be there at the end. I would love to see Toronto be the Eastern Conference champions. I just don't know if they have what it takes. I think they're just a tad soft, and Boston is not. And
okay.
So I see Boston there on the Western Conference side. You know, I think, you know, you got to consider Vegas. I mean, their decor is so good. They have great goaltending. Eichel and Mark Stone should be back for the playoffs. They'll be fresh and ready to go. I think Vegas is the likely team to come out of that, believe it or not.
Interesting. All right. Very nice. Wow, I was expecting you to give us a Stars or even a Winnipeg type of a prediction, but going for the old grizzle veterans on the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I just think they're going to get that boost from those two, and it's going to be huge. And I'll tell you, I think Winnipeg, if it's not Vegas, it's going to be Winnipeg. I would never say it was the Dallas Stars, because if 14 was walking down my street right now and somebody said, "Oh my God, there's Jamie Benn from the Dallas Stars," I would say, "Who cares?"
you wouldn't get in your car and try to run him over, huh?
I'm just not even going to look out the window.
And just let him keep walking.
You go say hi to him. I'm going to stay in the house.
Fair enough. Listen, Coach, I can't thank you enough for being on this edition of the WCHO podcast. I can't thank you for growing our listener base from 14 or 15 to millions in one podcast. I like the idea of manifesting things. So I've got to have
the power of the mind, Chris. The power of the mind.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to change my outlook here from half empty to half full and start talking about millions of folks. Wow, that's very good. All right, and we look forward to seeing you. It's been a while, but I look forward to seeing my good friend in St. Louis. I know I won't see you on day one because you'll be over there at the Chateau de Hogan. But, you know, I'll see you at Centene plenty of times over the next few days. So I'm looking forward to that.
I am as well. It'll be good to see you. And like I said, we can catch up on a personal level. It's good to see it. You know, you step away and it's good that people still remember your name.
Oh, come on.
I know. But anyway, it's going to be fun. I plan on being there a lot. And so we'll have a lot to talk about. And I really appreciate you letting me come on today and do this. I had a lot of fun.
This has been a blast. We might make this more of a recurring theme as we keep going forward. So
I'm all in.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for. All right, folks. Hey, that's Gary Henson on the WCHL podcast. Hang around. Hold on.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yeah, let's do that hockey chance. How about that? What a way to end our little special guest picker series with Coach Henson. What a character he is. What a great guy. Lots of knowledge. And hey, he picked Minot State to come back and defend their national championship. So not too bad. He didn't say it was going to go to overtime, did he? He said it was going to be scored late, though, under 4 minutes to go. And that's the way these games ought to be, right? They ought to be just nip and tuck affairs all the way to the very end. Listen, speaking of nip and tuck, we appreciate you putting up with us all the way here to the very end. If you listen this far, thank you so much for your support of ACHA Hockey, for your support of the WCHL, for your support of this podcast. It's, you know, without your support, we're just trying to shine a little light here on the student athletes, and, you know, they're truly playing for the love of the game. And we're just trying to, you know, give them a little bit of exposure. And, you know, it's ultimately at the end of the day, it's supposed to be for all the student athletes. We hope that you think it is, and I think it is. But hey, I'll leave that, I guess, up to you guys. In the meantime, hey, we've got games starting up tomorrow at 10 in the morning. Arizona gets going at 10:45 in the morning. Utah and Missouri State from the WCHL get going at 10:15 in the morning. Watch all the games live on Flow Hockey TV. Pay attention to the Twitter account. A dumb commissioner that you guys might know will be handling the Twitter account. We're going to have some fun there, some fun and snark. So if you can't watch the game, pay attention to the Twitter account, but you'll probably enhance your experience of watching the game by also having your phone handy and following along on Twitter, because it's going to be a great time. Looking forward to it. 6 days of nothing but nonstop action, and at the end of it, the Murdoch Cup is going to get raised, and looking forward to it. Thanks again to Coach Gary Henson. I look forward to seeing him, but thanks for his time today. And we really do appreciate all of the support from everybody who agreed to be on the podcast. Take care of yourselves. Let's play some hockey tomorrow. What do you say?